April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Oh, what's going on, Philadelphia? Hello, everybody. Oh, my God. Well, I guess the dust is not out of the air. It's probably because I'm holding back tears from the Sixers game last night, but that's for another time. Elliot Short Park's with us as well. I'm John Barchard. It's the Go Birds Podcast. Again, the five-star reviews do go a long way on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever else that you like to find your podcast. But ESP, the Eagles, they stay busy over the weekend. Actually, I feel like once me and James got done, they ended up signing Cody Kessler, which was kind of a bit of surprise to me, and then we'll get into this morning's news as well. But what do you make of the Cody Kessler signing? I think that's five quarterbacks now heading into OTAs and training camp.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess, well, I shouldn't say it's weird. It's understandable in a couple of ways. There's like less exciting ways. It's makes sense, and then there's obviously the big one that we can speculate about. But from a pure roster building perspective, I mean, Luis Perez, Clayton Thorson, like, these are not players you want taking a snap for you this year. Now, ideally, you don't want Cody Kessler taking a snap for you either, but at least Cody Kessler has played in NFL games, has experience, is probably a better prospect, even still, I would maybe say, than Clayton Thorson and Luis Perez. So you bring in a guy that has some NFL experience, a guy that knows how to run an NFL practice. I think it makes sense in all those ways. They're not going to keep five quarterbacks on the roster. Obviously, they probably won't even keep three, but you bring in Cody Kessler, he gets the whole offseason to learn the offense, and you feel a little bit better if something happens to Wentz or Sudfeld, putting him in, than you would a Clayton Thorson or a Luis Perez. Now,
well, that's kind of, oh yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Cause I was going to say the last thing about it is, well, what does this mean for the immediate health of Wentz? And go ahead on your thing, then we can speculate about that.
I thought it was, what my first thought was, well, why did you take Clayton Thorson then? I know that it's only 25 snaps for Sudfeld. I get that. Obviously, we know what's going on with Wentz. And then you've got, an inexperienced guy in Perez who obviously, by all accounts, didn't really look that great in just terms of what everybody saw for 20 minutes of practice. And maybe that was enough for the Eagles to go like, all right, that's not going to really work out.
Yeah, but you have to have guys like you can run practice with. And I don't know if Luis Perez qualifies as that.
Yeah, no, and I understand that too. But even with Cody coming in, like, if you're pushing, is he really going to stay as QB3? Like, does he know what he's kind of getting into? I guess he is a little bit in an opportunity to get to land a backup role rather than signing for one. And maybe, I guess, there wasn't a market for it anyway, but I don't know. I just think it's weird to now have a fifth round draft pick and a rookie who's obviously going to be on the practice squad.
And then sign Cody on top of that. But that kind of goes into where I think you're going speculation wise.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, too, from Cody Kessler's perspective. Like, why would you sign with the Eagles? Now, part of me gets it. You know, you're Cody Kessler. It's not like you have teams beating down the door for you. But at the same time, coming here, you have to know you basically have zero shot of making the roster, barring an injury, right? I mean, Wentz is going to be on the roster.
Yeah.
Sudfeld's going to be on the roster. I mean, if you think you can slip Clayton Thorson into practice squad, then maybe you keep Kessler over Thorson, but that's pretty damning of Clayton Thorson if Cody Kessler beats him out. So it's just it's a weird situation for him to agree to come into.
Yeah, and do you now think, and I know some people have asked in the take mailbag, which we'll get into in a little bit too, but does that kind of ramp up a little bit of concern that Wentz is not going to be around for OTAs? To me, I think that says he's not going to be here for OTAs. You know, he'll be there working out individually, but he's not going to do anything team-wise,
so
in my
opinion. That was my initial takeaway as well. I can't decide if maybe we're overreacting by that, but the timing's a little weird, right? The fact that they're just about to start the on-the-field portion of OTAs in terms of team drills and individual drills, so you have to have another quarterback. The fact that Doug wouldn't commit to Carson being there. Now, I think part of that, like we talked about on the last pod, is just him wanting to stick to rookie minicamp and using it as an excuse. But I do think there's something to be said for the fact that you're bringing Cody Kessler in right now, right before you're going to start to need more quarterbacks. Because let's be honest, at this point, you only have Sudfeld that you can count on to even run the offense in practice. I mean, you know, Clayton Thorson's a rookie. Luis Perez sucks. Like, so you have to bring
it. Well, Clayton's not good either.
No, Clayton's not good either, but Clayton's here. Yeah. So, like, Clayton has a bit of an excuse. Like, so Cody Kessler, you at least know, can come in and run the backup offense to a degree. So I do think it speaks to Wentz probably not being a full go in team drills. Now, for the practice, I'd imagine Wentz will do individual stuff and want to be out there kind of like he did with ACL. Although, I will say, I think Wentz doing as much as he did last offseason kind of set an expectation that he would be out there week one. I think the Eagles might regret a little bit doing that. So maybe they will hold Wentz back until he's just fully cleared. But I think that this speaks to how many practice reps Wentz is going to be able to take.
Yeah, I think so too. And just five quarterbacks in general is unusual for this group, at least, you know, and maybe that's something that Doug has always wanted. And, you know, I'm trying to think if there was, like, what would we have? We had Joe Callahan. We had, you know, Sudfeld, we had Nick Foles,
yeah,
and we had Wentz. I don't think there was a fifth guy in there, unless I'm mistaken. So
no,
it's nothing to overanalyze about it. I do think it says a lot about what they're going to do with Wentz and how slow they're going to take it. And honestly, I think that's a good thing if that's heading towards that. I don't think the funny things to me when Cody Kessler's name are brought up are that was going to be the quarterback that was going to be better than Wentz.
Right.
And that's why you wait. And, like, the Browns did it right. And then Cody ended up being nothing.
Trash.
And I don't think he's good. I don't even think he's a great backup quarterback. And I agree with you. You didn't say that about Clayton. I think it says everything about Nate Sudfeld if he can't beat him out.
Well, Nate Sudfeld's going to beat him out. Like, let's keep it real. Like, yeah, maybe he won't. You're right. And if he doesn't, then the Eagles, they're in trouble because Nate Sudfeld is making $3 million a year. Nate Sudfeld has to be this team's backup. So if Cody Kessler beats him out, then it's extremely damning of Nate Sudfeld.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just another interesting thing to kind of keep an eye on. And at the end of the day, I think Cody gets some decent tape, or if he gets decent tape, that they end up trading him and moving on from him. And, you know, Clayton can be QB3, or if they want to re-sign somebody else at that point, they can go and do it. I just don't expect him to stay at QB3. I think he's going to I would ask for a trade at that point if he's shown a decent amount where it's maybe it's really close, but Sudfeld has done a little better, or hopefully it's just, you know, a lot better as we were talking about. But I don't see him being on the roster this season, so we'll have to see how that goes.
Cody Kessler trade demands, man. That's a
not trade demands. Just be like, hey, if there's another team that's out there, you know, just sign me and flip me. And that's not uncommon in today's NFL, kind of at all, really. You know, like, just to go be a backup for,
right?
I don't know. Kyler Murray is Brett Hundley their only backup option back there? So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. And then this morning, Wisniewski, he's back. Like, he just goes, hey, by the way, and no less in a tuxedo t-shirt, which I really do appreciate. And I mean, this makes all the sense in the world. We were talking about the last real kind of need. It might be in that interior offensive line depth, and we were kind of scratching our heads. I was like, well, why is Wiz not here? And then he's coming back. I didn't see figures yet, Elliot. Did you see figures on this deal yet?
Well, no, I haven't, and I'm staying off of Twitter because I don't want any Game of Thrones spoilers. So I've tried to disattach myself. But
let me just double check real quick while you're talking. Yeah,
no, so I wrote last week that I think the Eagles' biggest need is still a defensive end, and in a large picture scale of actual starting, you know, impact players, I do think that's still their biggest need. But if you would have told me it was backup offensive line on the interior, I wouldn't have fought you on it. I mean, Brandon Brooks, if he's back in week one, that's great. If he's not, who was going to start there? I mean, Sayamalo's the other guard. Maybe Matt Pryor. Like, they did not have any good options at all, really, at backup interior line. Not only does Wisniewski give you somebody to start in week one if Brandon Brooks isn't ready, he gives you, I would say, an extremely high-quality backup at three spots now, both guards and center, and they didn't have that before. We've all seen, I mean, the Eagles' offensive line, I guess, is actually – I don't know, would you say they stayed healthy? I mean, Brooks in the playoff game, Peters is what he is. Kelsey's always there. I guess it's been a little hit or miss, but I still think the need for a backup, an elite level backup, is there. Now, he's not an elite level starter, but as a backup, I don't think they were going to do any better than they did with Wisniewski. Knows the offense. He'll come in here. He can step right in if needed. And I think the coaches must just feel a lot more confident knowing they have Wisniewski on the roster.
And Mike Garofolo did have the numbers. It's $1.5 million on a one-year deal, and then with a $500K in playing time incentives in there. So a max of $2 million. Yeah. That's good. It's cheaper than what his original deal was, and it all makes sense to me. And I think Isaac Seumalo is 100% going to stay at left guard. And Wiz will be at right guard if the need arises and Brooks isn't ready to go for the first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the season, whatever it ends up being. Although I must say, just based on his videos alone, Brandon Brooks is going crazy with the rehab. I mean, and you just saw, I think he had a tweet out last week saying like he ramped himself up to 14 miles an hour on a treadmill, and just to have his teammates around him like cheering him on and freaking out and going like, hell yeah, man. Again, it speaks to a lot what's going on at NovaCare.
Yep.
Just in terms of everyone kind of respecting each other and being there for one another. So maybe he ends up doing that, but just for the same theory that I've always have, where I don't think Jason Peters and Steven Wisniewski like one another, and I think Jason Peters really likes Isaac Seumalo. So it would have to take hell to freeze over, I think, for him to start at left guard, but we'll wait and see. You know, maybe I'm kind of reading into that too much.
Yeah, I think no matter how you slice it, the team is better with Wisniewski on it. They just are. Like,
yes,
$1.5 million is a drop in the bucket for this team, for the security he brings you. It's a no-brainer. And another thing I'll take away from it too is, and this was already pretty obvious with everything they were doing, but this offense is not only loaded at almost every single position, they're deep at every single position, and the Eagles are absolutely going for it. Like, it would have been easy for the Eagles to say, you know what, we drafted Matt Pryor last year, we really liked him. I mean, he's played guard and tackle, not a backup center, but it would have been easy for them to say, no, let's let Wisniewski move on, we'll try some of these young guys, but they're going for it. They're absolutely going for it, and bringing Wisniewski in is another indication that they are locked and loaded for this year.
Yeah, and there, I think what I saw at least this morning was like, this is, you know, it just shows you that they're trying to protect Wentz. Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah,
why wouldn't they be?
Like every single team is. Yeah.
You keep continuing the best things that you have developed, which is, you know, the Eagles have had one of the best offensive lines in terms of starters and depth for a very long time. You want to keep that intact as much as possible. And yeah, with the added weapons on and everything, like, to me, I know we're focused on Wentz, and that it should 100% be the focus all the time when it's coming down to this stuff, but I believe that this is going to open up the running game so much between them staying consistent with their offensive line and now having two fresh running backs in this system, one who's obviously a rookie, and then Jordan Howard, who I'm still kind of back and forth with, but it really won't matter because I think that we're going to see an elevated running game again. And not in terms of like usage or just like, yeah, they're going to hand the rock off 35 times to make everybody happy. Some matchups might need that. They might not. But I think this opens up a whole wall of greatness that we're kind of not really thinking about because we're so used to the kind of, yeah, we'll sign this 1 year running back. We'll have this UDFA play,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I'm excited to see that.
I put together a list of like guys I think were breakout candidates, and maybe this is a good topic for an entire pod another day. But just since you mentioned Jordan Howard, I actually think he qualifies as a guy that could break out this year. I mean, I know he has the third most rushing yards in the NFL since he's been drafted, so clearly he's an accomplished player. But when you talk about the best running backs in the NFL, like even top 15-ish, I mean, how many people would bring up Jordan Howard if you made that list? Probably not rightfully so right now. But for the reasons you just mentioned, I think Jordan Howard has the potential by the time we get to week 8, 9, 10 for when you're talking about the semi-short list of impact running backs to be on that list. With the offensive line, the offense he's in, the touches he'll get, I think his game really complements what the Eagles do. So I think he has a potential to really make a lot of money for himself this season.
Yeah, absolutely he does. And it probably won't be here unless it's, again, just 2,000 yards and like 55,000 touchdowns or something like that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. He's got a great chance to go make some money this year along with that. All right, let's get to your questions in the mail take bag, as
I like
both takes and questions are welcome at all times. So Seamus Clancy, our good friend, asking more likely to be QB3 Kessler or Thorson. And just after thinking about it even a little further, I think Kessler is more than likely to be QB3, and he probably won't go anywhere. I'm trying to think of the past and how they've handled this. You had Wentz to Foles to Sudfeld. Wentz to Foles to Sudfeld. Now you're going to have Wentz to Sudfeld, which, you know, by the guy next to me saying that he would have taken him over any quarterback in this draft class, you have to say that's that's at least on par for something. And then you have Kessler's got experience. Like, I think that's exactly how they want it to go now that I'm thinking about it. So I say Kessler.
So it's a tough one. I would say that if Cody Kessler's your third quarterback, that speaks poorly of Sudfeld and Thorson. I think that he has experience, as I mentioned before, but it's not like he's, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick in experience. I think Cody Kessler going in for you in a big game is still not ideal. So I think there's a decent – I'll say this. I think I'll agree. There's a better shot he's a number three quarterback than Clayton Thorson is, because I don't think Clayton Thorson is going to be good, and I think they'll very easily put him through to practice squad.
Okay. We'll have to wait and see on that. This I thought was a great question. This is from Kyle Seifer. Everyone says we have untested players – untested people at certain positions, guard and D-end as examples. My question is, when do you test whatever you have instead of going out and getting proven players? I feel like you need to see what you have before you go out and push others deeper on the chart. And I think that's a great question, only because we've now seen a couple of times where the Eagles have put insurance behind a lot of their young guys. And I think, honestly, when you get to something like this, like everything you're seeing between, you know, Chris Long more than likely not coming back, and then you're paying Brandon Graham, but you also jettison Michael Bennett, I think for a couple of the same reasons, just on more than just being an asshole, right? Like,
right.
You drafted some of these guys, especially Hyde, Derek Barnett, you know, like this is what you got to go and do. And if you're wrong, you have next year's free agency to kind of go and try and correct that. I think the Eagles are at the point. I mean, this is kind of the last year that you can kind of do that, depending on what happens with Wentz's contract. But I think they're in that mode right now. Once you've drafted a guy year two, year three into their NFL career, I think that's kind of time to be like, let's see what they have.
So I took a little bit of a different spin on that question. I always remember when the Sixers were going through their process, one of the things Sam Hinkie would always say is the most valuable thing a young player can get is just reps. It's just playing time, right? So I got a lot of those questions when I would talk about why they should bring back Foles, even though I was so high on Sudfeld. People would say, well, how can you be so high on Sudfeld but want Foles back? And I think the reasoning is, and the reason you don't see a lot of young players on this Eagles team get reps and it's hard for them to find it, is because this team is trying to win right now. So in another world where the Eagles were maybe expected to go 5-11, yeah, then it doesn't really matter if Sudfeld goes in week 12. But by the time the Eagles get to week 12, they might be 9-2 or, you know, 8-3 or whatever, assuming Wentz stays healthy. And if he goes down, really any position, at Jason Peters position, at Malcolm Jenkins position, you if you're going to be a competing team that you think is going to be pushing for a playoff spot and really pushing for even home field advantage, you can't really be putting these young players in and catch in such key spots. It's hard for them. It's not fair to them. So, you know, a guy like Josh Sweat, yeah, you're not getting all goodies until he gets in there. But the Eagles aren't in a position right now where they're looking to find those things out in big games. I mean, so I think that's why it's tough for young players and the Eagles to get reps and why they have that mentality. It's just they're trying to win right now. And when you're doing that and you're trying to add up depth, you don't want young guys getting in there.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point, too. And, you know, this roster was already really good to begin with. So it's hard to fit yourself in. And yeah, I mean, that's going to get, I would say in the next 2 or 3 years, you won't have to ask that question anymore, because most of these guys that are in there right now, you have to replace, which is also terrifying, interesting, and scary all at the same time. Let's go to, Randy Harn. Speaking of, Chris Long is making this whole soap opera, whole situation a soap opera, and will be coming back either way. Mark my words. Randy, I mean, Chris has been pretty clear about his intentions there, so I don't think that there's kind of any drama going on or soap opera that he's creating. He's literally said, I'm act like I'm not coming back. If something opens up, my playing time has been decreased. My role's been, you know, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't think Chris Long's doing anything.
Well, it's also, this is such a classic example of like, athletes are damned if they do, damned if they don't. Like, if he doesn't talk about it and interact with fans on Twitter, nobody thinks he's having a quote unquote soap opera. But because he's approachable on Twitter, because he talks about things, now all of a sudden he talks about it all the time. The one kind of interesting thing I do think, though, in like recent Chris Long developments, I thought it was a little interesting he rang the bell at the Sixers game. I don't know why. I just feel like he's in Philly to do that in such a public way when in theory you're in the middle of a breakup with the team. I thought was a little, you know, just not odd, but I thought it would be an indication that he will be back. I do think he'll be back. I think that he really loves it here. I think ultimately the differences that they have are not big enough where he won't just say, you know what, I'll just come in. And I think ultimately if he comes in, he'll end up playing a lot just because I think he's the second best defensive end on the roster right now.
Yeah, yeah. I actually just think that's because it's underdogs and Lane Johnson and him are there. They're the ones that started. That's all I took away from.
Yeah, I get that. It's just a little, I don't know. It's like.
And he still is here, and I'm sure the Sixers asked him. So, I don't know. Whatever.
We think he was in Virginia during the offseason.
Oh, does he? Oh, okay.
Based off of his Instagram posts.
Oh. See, that's the beat writer you need right there.
Exactly.
And Jason Boone kind of mentions some of the stuff we're talking about. In January, Carson was expected to make a full recovery in time for OTAs. Sounds like he's recovering slower than expected, and based on Doug's presser last week, is he recovering slower than originally thought? And if so, how concerning is this? I'll just keep saying it. You can't rush a back, especially when it's broken. Like, you just don't know. And doctors know, but they don't know, you know, because it all comes down to each individual.
Yeah.
DNA strand. Like, you just don't know. Like, the 3 month thing, as Elliot, you had pointed out, was just like stuck in everybody's head, and that was all that they took away from it. And that's just kind of like clearing a benchmark, seeing what happens and moving on. It might just be fully recovered and he's like, hey, you know, just take your time so it's past 100% or whatever. Like, I don't really need to see Carson Wentz at OTAs. I just don't, you know, like, I need to see him taking drills in training camp, and at least by like week 2 or week 3 of it, and then game 3 of the preseason, and that's pretty much it. Like, I don't see the need to go out and rush him out there either.
So I agree with the first part of what you said. We have no idea if he's behind or ahead of schedule. We have no idea if the back's healing slower than expected. We just don't. They don't open up about these things. People close to Carson don't even really open about it. So we don't know. But where I disagree with you is the second part. Like, Carson, we can debate how good he was last year. And again, that's another good offseason topic to really dive into how well he played. But one thing you certainly heard from coaches and, you know, fans, I would say, was, oh, well, he didn't get an offseason to work with his teammates. He didn't get an offseason to work with his teammates. So I do think him missing OTAs is a big deal. I think that he needs to be out there. I think that he stressed how important it was last year. So to now say that it's not, it would make no sense for the Eagles to come out and say that. So if he, like, look, if he's not doing full team reps on later this week or next week, is it a huge deal? No, but I like, he's got to be full go all in training camp. He has to be full go in the mandatory 3-day mini camp. Like, this can't be a situation where he's on the sideline for those things. And if he is, I mean, I agree with you. You don't want to rush him. You don't want to put him out there just to do it, but it's a really bad sign. It just is. It's a broken back. It's a serious injury. I think sometimes the seriousness of it gets underplayed because of the way the Eagles went about it. And that was probably intentional, but in terms of just, you know, oh, Carson's not practicing today, Carson's questionable week to week, that type of thing. But when he tore his ACL, it was immediately viewed as a huge injury because he was out, all those things. But a broken back's a big deal, and it's definitely something to be worried about.
Oh, yeah, especially where he broke it. Yeah. Like, that's it sucks. It's just it's the worst luck that I think any player can kind of have doing that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, like, I'm not telling you not to be concerned. I'm just saying my meter's not going crazy unless you don't see him in training camp. Well, so we'll have to.
I will say, from a health perspective, I don't think it's a huge red flag. I just think you want your starting quarterback taking all the reps in the offseason. Like, you just do. And you saw last year what happened when he didn't. So I do think it's not a big deal in terms of, like, he's never going to be healthy type of thing, but I do think from a 2019 season perspective, him missing reps is a big deal.
This coming from David Lander, and appreciate you listening as always, bud. Was the decision to release Wiz simply hoping to play the comp pick game? You know, if there's another offer, I know he's going to go meet the Jets. Or did the other trades draft picks fall through, leaving Wiz as the only real option to fill a hole? When it comes to that, I really don't even think you're thinking in terms of comp picks like that. Like, because it's not, again, if he signed for 1.5 here, maybe he gets 2 or 3 somewhere else, and he wanted to be somewhere where, you know, he could kind of step in and, you know, not have to learn an offense or new calls or anything like that. So, I don't know. I don't think it was because of that. I honestly just think it's because of his salary, Elliot.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to give him a chance to go out and find a better job. I think, you know, I don't know if I completely agree. Well, I think they just wanted him to go out there and get a chance at a better job. I think Wiz wasn't happy being a backup. I think this was probably an example of Wiz thinking the grass would be greener and maybe found out it really wasn't. The comp pick, I'm sure, played a factor, as, you know, every decision the Eagles make, there's a lot of things that factor in. But I think this was more, let's give Wiz a shot to see what he can get. And I don't think he liked what he found. And I think both sides are better off for being back together.
There is two more we'll get into. This is from John, J_O_H_N_3. I am so sorry, man. There's just too many of us. That's what it really came down to. What other position would you like Howie to go after now? I'm thinking adding another linebacker would be ideal. I think so, but I think they actually, now with Zach Brown being here, like, their depth is really good at the position.
Yeah, to me, it's definitely defensive end. It's hard to find impact defensive ends in general, let alone this late in free agency. But to me, it's definitely defensive end. They just have too many question marks for how important of a position it is. And I agree with you, a linebacker. I think they were fine before the Zach Brown signing, and now I think they're, you know, loaded there.
Good friend Neil Dutton just chimes in, too, with another Kessler what if. More likely, Kessler beats out Sudfeld for the backup job, or Howie fleeces somebody into giving them a 6-rounder.
Howie fleecing somebody. I think the chances of Kessler beating out Nate Sudfeld barring injury are just extremely slim.
Yeah, I think so too. So we'll leave it with that. Appreciate all the questions at GoBirdsPod on Twitter, on Instagram. And of course, if you're not in the social media at all, there's always the GoBirdsPod at gmail.com. Something I want to touch on before we leave here, because it was up and then it was deleted. Tim Jernigan kind of had this little weird thing in his Instagram story. I don't know if you caught this, Elliot, but he just posted something like, I hope I don't have to give him a Telvin Smith, or like go the Telvin Smith route. All I want is my respect. And then the very next frame, he just goes, smack my head.
It's shake. Come on, John. Shaking my damn head. Not smack my damn head.
Oh, yeah, I said smack. Yeah, smacking my damn head. Shaking my damn head. Right. So I've got to take a class on memes. And then secondly, what did you make of that?
Look, I mean, the fact he said Telvin, I think, ties it to football. Had he just said, people need to start respecting me, blah, blah, you could have said, well, that could be anything. I mean, look, I think it's pretty apparent. It means he's unhappy about something. The question is what? He signed a deal that probably was the best one he could get. It's not like the Eagles, it's not like he's underpaid and the Eagles are refusing to give him a new deal. He signed the best contract he could get. He knew what his role was going to be coming in. It's not like they signed Malik Jackson after they signed him. They didn't draft a defensive tackle. Maybe another move is coming, but you would think it would have happened already
if they're talking to somebody, though. I mean, that seems to me like they're still talking.
Yeah, but
to...
I guess how would Jernigan know? I mean, unless I guess people talk, but like,
well, his agent wouldn't they?
I guess,
or just saying like, hey Tim, we're probably not done signing D tackles.
Maybe,
you know, you get him to sign, and then you say that afterwards. I could see that.
Maybe. Yeah, I definitely think it's football related for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he deleted it, which, you know,
he did.
Maybe that means it wasn't. People were taking it out of context, but
it's very possible. I'm big on taking things out of context. So.
Oh well, I mean, here's what I would say too. 9 out of 10 times when an athlete posts something on social media and you think, oh, that seems weird, it is almost always what you think it means. Very rarely do athletes post things and they're just completely oblivious to how it's going to be taken. Yeah. So I do think
the full quote, just so I don't screw it up. I would hate to pull a Telvin on these folks. I just want my respect, period.
And then he smacked his damn head.
And then he smacked his fucking head.
Yeah.
here's the thought. I know everybody else thought it too, but Sue, would you? I mean, he's out there, you know. If Sue's okay being a rotational defensive tackle, I don't see how that hurts at all. Then you have the best D tackles in the league at that point in terms of depth and starters. Like, that's just,
yeah, I guess that'd be ridiculous. It would fall under why not? You know, like why not? They have the salary cap space. You're better. The roster's better with Sue on it than him not on it. I don't think it's a need per se. I would rather spend that money if you can find it on a defensive end type guy or make a trade or something. But I mean, bringing in Sue would certainly qualify as Jernigan being upset. I'd say that.
We have breaking news, Elliot. We have breaking news.
Okay.
The Eagles have waived quarterback Luis Perez.
Oh, okay. My heart stopped for a second. I was like, I'm going to have to wait to watch Game of Thrones even longer, yeah, based on this.
So that's, there you go. That's one less. So now they just have 4 quarterbacks on the roster,
yep,
currently. So that makes sense. They really just wanted to see if Perez had it, and he didn't. And now we don't have to talk about that anymore. They also released Nico Evans, who is their one of their futures running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they're getting the 2 roster spots for Wisniewski and for Kessler.
Can I drop my one Luis Perez take before we wrap
please
this up?
Yeah, absolutely.
So at the rookie mini camp, the practices getting ready to start, the huddle's getting breaking down. Luis Perez walked in the middle and broke down the huddle. I thought it was a bit of a boss move by Luis Perez, considering his status. Considering his status on the team. Like, I get you wanted to be a quarterback, but Clayton Thorson's right there. He's the rookie. I don't know. He kind of chumped Clayton Thorson. Not a good sign for Clayton.
He just got right in there and said, well, if one thing on his scouting report, I guess we can put that. So,
yep.
There's another Inside the Birds coming your way this week as well. We will be back Friday. Hopefully there's even more news to talk about, and if not, we'll make some up anyway and have a lot of fun. For Elliot Shore Parks, I'm John Barcher. This has been the Go Birds Podcast right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP and radio.com. We'll see you guys.
So one thing I've been obviously watching that shot a lot, and like the one weird thing to me, and you can't blame anybody for that, like it happened, it is what it is, but it's right. A little weird that Embiid and Simmons are both on Kawhi at the top of the key, and then Embiid continues with him and Simmons trails off. Now maybe that's just because I don't know. Maybe he's worried he'll pass the ball, but like it really does.
No, he was already around Simmons. That's the issue. Like he got around him.
Running. I don't. It just seemed weird to me that he.
Well, no, that's fucked up. Like he stopped. He shouldn't have stopped.
Right.
Because if there's another hand to contest that, maybe he gets a piece of it, or it falls short, or it goes long, or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
who knows anything. But also, it really says something that on that huge play of the game, on the top maybe three player in the world, you have to have Joel Embiid defending him. Like, he's a fucking center. Like, the fact he even did that good of a job is pretty miraculous.
Yeah, that's – and with 45 minutes of game time, too. Yeah. Like, he got there, too. This is crazy.
I still can't believe it went in.
I know. I just keep, like, thinking to myself, like, Jesus Christ, that shot goes, you know, off, or they, like – or Jimmy hits a three rather than taking a two. I don't know. It's just like, man. Single game tickets.
Yeah, when Jimmy was driving to the basket to tie the game, like, it wouldn't have mattered because Kawhi hit – a shot that was worth two, but like had he kicked it out to JJ, he was, I don't know. I mean, I guess you tie the game there, you have to do it, but like,
Whatever. I think they don't, it's different. Cause that situation wouldn't go to Kawhi on the outside again. And maybe it goes to Gasol inside or whatever, you know, because you're only worried about getting two. It's an interesting thought though.